course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends today. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Ready to talk about 28 years later. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, well, that's what we got today. We're reviewing 28 years later, but before we get there, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Let's see. I watched watched the tw I rewatched the other 28 movies, 28 days and weeks, to prepare for the new movie. A new Five Nights at Freddy's game came out called Secret of the Mimic. So I've been watching gameplay of that, which is a horror game, so it was pretty cool to watch. Let's see, I watched also a yeah, I don't. It's not exactly horror, but for my anime fans out there, I watched a. It has some scary elements to it, but it's called Solo Leveling. So that was pretty neat. Otherwise, just some normal stuff here and there, but nothing horror related.
Yeah, I didn't watch anything horror related this week. I've just been busy. I've been trying to keep cool and all this shit, but no, nothing. I haven't watched anything. So, all right, then. Again, the structure of the show is a little different, but let's move on. Talk to us, Internet! And this week, we're skipping straight to Talk to Us, Internet, because there's something we need to talk about before we get to the other stuff, and there's lots of other stuff. But the first trailer for The Strangers Chapter 2 is now out, and they've also launched an in-universe website at visitvenusoregon.com. The movie will hit theaters on September 26th, so I want to talk a little bit about what we thought of the trailer. Ike, did you get a chance to watch the trailer?
Yep, I took a little peek at it.
Right. Tell us what you thought.
I'm excited. I'm actually excited. I think everyone should obviously go watch it for themselves. Don't just take my word for it. But something I want to specifically point in on, because obviously the trailer is great, but I love that these people, these companies are doing things like websites now. Mm-hmm. 28 years later, did a website too. That kind of explained, it was like an in-universe website that explained, like, specifically, like, you know, infection rates and the quarantine zone and everything else. So the fact that they made a website for Venus, Oregon, which of course is the area that, you know, in the first film that they go to and get stuck, unfortunately. So seeing this, you know, and you go on here and there's a, there's like public safety advisories. There's comments from like the characters in the universe. So it's just, oh man, it is like, for instance, there's one that's like a public safety advisor and there's a comment from a sheriff that said that a deceased individual was found. And there's people commenting on that saying like, are we sure this was an animal attack and stuff like that? So it's really neat. If you haven't checked out the website, you really should.
Yeah. And, I didn't know if you had more or not. The trailer was absolutely. Here's the thing. I had a lot of trepidation about this movie,
right?
And I don't know why, but I think because some of the early snippets we were getting and things, I felt like, oh, they're going to just give away everything and tell all this backstory, and I'm like, man, this is kind of a movie in a franchise that doesn't need a lot of that.
Right.
And it worried me. And then watching this trailer, I'm like, oh, okay, maybe they're not so much. And some of the earlier stuff they had put out there was a little misleading in a way. But it's but of course we haven't seen the movie yet. But you know, there's actual specific parts of the trailer I think where there someone questions why this is happening and someone's like, why does there have to be a why? Which is that's the strangers, right? That's what it's always been about. They're Doesn't have to be a reason. There's not a reason. You were home. It happened.
Right.
And yeah, so after I'm feeling a little more confident after seeing this trailer. You know, we said with, you know, chapter one, and you can listen to our full review in the archive. We did say, right, it's kind of a movie they had to make to reintroduce, to get back into this. And we were, you know, more anticipating, you know, chapter two once they got past that to see what they did further. So, and I think that holds true. I'm a little more excited now that we get some, we're into the new material now
Yeah.
to see what they add to it. So, yeah, you know, I know it's just the first trailer. I know it's just a couple of minutes, but so far, yeah, it's a little more promising than what I first feared. And it's, you know, it's got me in a little more positive mindset. So I'm looking forward to it, but we don't have long to wait. It's it'll coming out here in a couple months. Like we said, September 26th. We will obviously be doing a review of that when the time comes. So I'm looking forward to it. So all right, but we're skipping all the other segments because, man, there's a lot to talk about news-wise and everything else. You know, summer months, things pick up and things get busy. So we're going to skip everything else and take a break. And when we come back, it's time for news, birthdays, and anniversaries. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, so we're going to start off here with pre-orders are open for the new Nika Terrifier merchandise that is forthcoming, including an Art the Clown Toony Terror. The other terrors in this wave are Happy Death Day's Babyface Killer and Black Phone's The Grabber. All of these look great. I think that these are going to be fantastic additions to the Nika line, and may have to nab me a Terrifier Art the Clown Toony Terror.
Yeah, they're actually very cool. You know, I love the Toony Terrors. Anyway, but this is a good wave, and I'm obviously excited about the Art the Clown. No doubt about that. But then I'm also pretty damn stoked about the Grabber. He works well, and I'm glad to see something, you know, for him. So, yeah, it's a good wave. And some of that other shit that they've put out there, there's a 7-inch deluxe art that's just freaking amazing looking, on pre-order. But yeah, those are all up for pre-order on the Nika site. So. It's out there. We talked, I think, last week where they dropped it. It was coming, and it's all available for pre-order. So go get it.
That's right. Nab up those pre-orders before they run out. But very good. Moving on to The Barn. Part 3 is officially coming. They released the first poster and have announced that Felisa Rose of Sleepaway Camp fame, William Ragsdale of Fright Night fame, and John Cassier from Tales of the Crypt will be joining the cast. No release date has been announced yet, but if you'd like to watch The Barn and The Barn Part 2, they are both streaming on Screambox. I think I've seen The Barn. I don't think I have had a chance to go around and watch Part 2. Yeah, I'll have to check out Part 2 before Part 3 comes out.
Yeah, I've watched them both. I'm not remembering a whole lot. I know they're set, I believe, around Halloween. And stuff, but I remember, I feel like I remember liking them. So I'm gonna have to do a rewatch. You know, it's already a plus if you get Felisa Rose in there, right? You know, I'm a fan of that move. So, yeah, I'm excited. You know, I keep them coming.
Absolutely. We'll have to see what happens. The Barnes, it's one of those interesting movie experiences too, because, you know, I feel like it kind of came out of nowhere. And I remember Part 2, I'm pretty sure Part 2 released, you know, relatively soon after. So, you know, the fact that they're already working on Part 3 means that Screamblock probably has some pretty significant, you know, thinking that this is going to be at least a decent film. So
Yeah.
I'll have to. I'll watch it. So, but good stuff. Check out The Barn on Screambox. Always shout out Screambox. But Moving on, we have filming has officially begun for Crystal Lake. You know, we're still being cautiously optimistic, you know, keep it at arm's distance, hoping not to scare it away. Yeah, we're hopeful that this is for reals and that we'll sooner rather than later have a trailer or just some more updates on the casting and everything else, because if they're filming, they surely have to have more people on board. So we'll have to wait and see, though.
Yeah, it's so this whole thing is so weird because it's like a flurry of announcements. We get all excited, and then it looked like things were unraveling, and then we heard nothing for a while. And we're like, oh well, and then it's like all of a sudden now there's another flurry, and they're actually working on it. It's just crazy to me. But that is, I guess, I mean, that's the state of Friday the 13th this day and age. And you know, I'm super excited, right? I think either last episode or the episode before, we had some you know, some new castings that they had put in it and that they had announced. And so yeah, it's a pretty cool. I'm excited. I hope hopefully we'll start seeing some trailers and stuff here pretty soon.
Yep, absolutely. But cool stuff. Moving on to Sinners has begun streaming on HBO Max. Will, or I should say, will begin streaming on HBO Max on July 4th. Also coming soon to HBO Max will be Opus on July 11th and Death of a Unicorn on July 25th. Super excited for Sinners. I do want to rewatch that. I was iffy on Opus. It looked good. It looked a little weird. But, I mean, hey, Opus is good. But I do like Ayo Edebiri. She's fantastic. And obviously has John Malkovich and Juliette Lewis in it. So, you know, it's got a pretty decent cast. And then, of course, I want to watch Death of the Unicorn. That's a horror comedy. And just never got to see it. But it's Paul Rudd and Jenna Ortega. So I can't imagine it'd be bad.
Yeah, and that's a man, that's a wild duo. It's Paul Rudd and Jenna Ortega in a movie just sounds so odd to me, but oddly good. So yeah, I mean, you know, I'm excited. I mean, I'll definitely watch all three, rewatch Sinners and watch the other two since they'll be available now streaming. So I'm always excited to get something new to watch.
Absolutely. Continue to grow the horror genre so that way, you know, eventually we just take over. That's the goal.
That's right.
But moving on to Blumhouse has officially purchased the rights to the Saw franchise, and James Wan and Leigh Whannell are being brought back. I think we may have mentioned this briefly on our last one. But, you know, they've obviously, you know, elaborated on this a little bit, and it's been a little more, you know, pilfered through the media cycle. So, yeah, this is obviously, I think this is a good move. I know some people don't like Blumhouse, but frankly, Blumhouse has the resources to make horror films. And obviously they have the resources and wherewithal to bring back the original creators in some form or facet. So I think this is a good move. I think this is a strong move to bring Saw back to its roots and hopefully get us some more Saw content in the, again, rather near than far future.
Yeah, I mean, I'm. Here's the thing. I'm just glad that something's happening, because you know there was all that. Who knew what was happening? Suddenly, a movie was canceled and everything else. But yeah, you know, bringing back, you know, Juan and Wannell.
Yeah,
sounds weird, but you know, that's exciting. Yeah, I'm all for it. Hopefully, they can work a little magic and give us a good movie.
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit of that Blumhouse magic and see what we can do. But very good. We're going to move on now to upcoming birthdays. We got a couple good ones here. June 28th, 1979, we have Felicia Day, known for her roles in Supernatural, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and The Guild. Felicia Day is also, you know, she was really big on YouTube for a hot minute. And she did a bunch of stuff on there. She was in, anytime I think about Felicia Day, I always remember her from the YouTube Rewind from years and years and years ago. And she, well, what was it? She played, oh, she was in the part because it was when Call Me Maybe came out. So
oh, yeah.
She was lip singing to that song. So I'll always remember her from that. but obviously Felicia Day has gone on to do much bigger and better things than YouTube. Not to say YouTube's bad, but still. She was in Supernatural, for God's sake.
That's right. I always think, I mean, I would have seen her in Buffy, but not probably not picked up on her that much. But my first big encountering ever was in the Guild, which was kind of a, one of those, an early streaming YouTube show that they did about, RPG players. And it's a super fun thing. If no one's seen it, you need to find it and watch it. It's really great. It's hilarious. But it's a fun deal.
Yeah, absolutely. But very good. So happy birthday to Felicia. And we're going to move on now to July 1st, 1930. Mustafa Akkad, the producer of the Halloween series. Also, Mustafa did pass away, I want to say 2005. Yeah, 2005, November of 2005. And his son has, continued to carry on his legacy. I don't remember his son's name, but off the top of my head, I think it's Malik Akkad, I think, and he's done like production on the new Halloween movies. I think he did production on, even on like H2O and stuff like that. So very cool. He's a legend in horror because of his involvement in Halloween, and his family is still a part of it, which is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you hear producer and you think, what does that mean? Well, I mean, I'm gonna be straight up real. They financed these movies, and if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have gotten nearly the Halloween movies we would have gotten, because they financed, they backed it, they believed in it, they supported Carpenter, they supported all those, subsequent movies. So, if you're a fan of the Halloween series at all, you've got to thank them and this family, because without them, it might have never happened at all.
Exactly. Could have never happened, but thankfully it did. So, happy birthday in memoriam to Mustafa Akkad. And we will now move on to our upcoming movie anniversaries. I combine movie and anniversary to Mooney, so that's fun. Moving on here to June 26, 2019, we have Annabelle Comes Home. Annabelle Comes Home. This is, if I remember correctly, they just Annabelle comes home and starts wreaking havoc. And this one's pretty good. I think this one had very little of Ed and Lorraine, but it was very focused on Judy Warren, which was, McKenna Grace, since McKenna Grace plays pretty much every child in every horror thing.
Pretty much.
But yeah, so that was. What she did there, and I liked Annabelle Comes Home. I think it was quite great.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, not bad. Kind of a different take, right? We've got the Annabelle, kind of those Annabelle spin-off type movies that fit into it, right? I like it, right? The doll's a thing, right? It sells merch. It's kind of become a little bit of an icon, and for pretty much an inanimate object, it's done pretty well.
Yeah, I was gonna say, for it being essentially a doll that just sits there for most of the time, it just it has some action sequences, kind of, but not really. But for the fact that it's mostly just a doll that sits there, I mean, hey, Annabelle's doing a good job. What can I say? I
That's right.
don't know if you saw, but they were touring the actual Annabelle doll around the United States for like something. I don't know what it was, but like. They took her to like Louisiana, and like when she was in Louisiana, like a plantation burned down, some like prisoners escaped, and listen, I believe in the paranormal, but listen, correlation does not equal causation.
Sure.
I'm not putting it above whatever entity is within the Annabelle doll to wreak havoc. I don't know if they did that per se. But apparently there is like it's just all kinds of misfortune with this doll being toured around, but I
Which
digress.
the original doll is a Raggedy Ann doll. And
Yes.
looks nothing like this, but of course in the movies they could not have used an intellectual property. And I'm sure the whole whoever o owns the rights, or the estate that owns the rights to Raggedy Ann, would not want that doll put into horror movies, given that it's, got this nice wholesome image.
Yeah, no. I highly doubt it. So they had to change it up a little bit and give Annabelle her signature look, if you will.
But it would have been cool. It would have added a whole dimension if it had been Raggedy Ann in the movies.
Oh, absolutely. I think it would have been honestly really neat for them to do like a cameo of a Raggedy Ann doll or something somewhere.
That's right.
But yeah, I don't think that they could have made that happen purely for the, like you said, the intellectual properties, and probably the Raggedy Ann people don't want that to be don't want that to be a lasting memory of Annabelle. But good stuff. We're going to move on now to June 27th, 2003. We have 28 Days Later, the original. 28 Days Later, we've talked about it a lot. It's one of the best infection zombie-esque movies. I know they're not technically zombies. I know it's not, they're not dead per se. They're just, it's basically like really bad rabies or whatever the hell. Yeah, the 28 Days Later, the OG is a great foundational film in the genre. Gave us multiple sequels.
Yeah, and it's funny because rewatching it, it's like I don't know. I felt like I kind of appreciated it a little more on the rewatch than even when I originally watched. Not that I'm saying I didn't like it with the original watch, but I don't know. I think on the rewatch, I kind of maybe kind of appreciated that. It was kind of trend setting, right? Kind of, it wasn't your typical type film. So
Right.
I think I appreciated all that a little more now in retrospect.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of appreciation for the film, like you said. I think subsequent rewatches will really allow you to, I guess, digest what the movie's doing and what it's talking about. So it's really cool to go back and rewatch those. I will say that I do not remember how jumpy those movies are. Like just the
Yeah.
camera cuts and everything. I'm not saying I don't like it, but it's not my favorite filming style. 28 years later, and we'll talk about this later, thankfully didn't do the exact same thing. There were a couple spots, but holy shit, I had whiplash watching 28 Days Later. I was like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Yeah, it was a little difficult to watch some of that. Yeah, it was a little herky jerky.
A little bit for sure. But anywho, we'll talk more about the day, week, year later movies later. But for now, we will jump to June 27th of 2024, where we had A Quiet Place Day One. I won't talk about this a lot because we have a full ass review in the archives where we talk about it in great detail. But this is a great movie, perhaps the best of the series. I highly recommend you watch it. It is unfortunate that you have to watch this film on Paramount Plus, which is easily one of the worst streaming services on Earth. But other than that, fantastic movie.
Yeah. There's a review, but yeah, I really think, yeah, it's my favorite of the franchise. I really think they hit on everything with this one. I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah, absolutely. But very good. And we're going to move on now to July 1st of 2016. We have The Purge, election year. A timely and always vapid relation of election to violence. Such a good movie and a good series. I think it's due for a rewatch here soon. I think every July, every near July 4th, I always go back and rewatch these movies just because, they all kind of take place in the summer about. So, good stuff.
Yeah, they're very Independence Day-y type movies. So yeah, I think they're always that summertime rewatch type deal.
Absolutely. But good stuff. Purge election year in 2016. Moving on to July 2nd of 1986, Psycho 3. We actually have talked about the Psycho sequels to some extent multiple times. I mean, it just happens to come up just randomly.
I don't know if it's random or if I'm forcing it into conversation.
perhaps. But it's funny because Psycho 3, fun fact, has Anthony Perkins in it as Norman Bates. But it is also directed by Anthony Perkins. This one's a good one. I think that two is better than one. But I think three has a rightful place in the conversation as well. But yeah, I like three. It was a good watch. It was a surprising watch when I went back to watch it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I still hold true. Right. Everybody knows, has heard here recently my opinions that I think the Omen franchise is underappreciated as a whole. Right. Everybody likes the first one, but no one talks about the others. And I think Psycho is another like that, right? Everybody talks about, the groundbreaking first one, but I'm telling you, to me, the sequels are, I think they're fun. And I think overall it's a pretty good franchise. I really think Psycho and the Omen franchises are just, I think they're both undervalued.
Absolutely. 100%. But good time as any for those of you out there who have never seen these movies to give them a watch now. Go ahead and give those a watch. I think they're on Tubi. I think you can pretty much watch Psycho for free anywhere. It's on YouTube. But I think the sequels are on Tubi or some free streaming service, so not hard to find at all. But very good. Moving on now to July 2nd, 2021, we have Fear Street Part 1, 1994. Fear Street was a series of movies on Netflix. There was three of them. It was 1994, 1980 something, or 70 something maybe, and then there was like 1666 or something like that. Yeah, these were good movies. The first one really set the stage, and I was super stoked when it came out. I thought it was really great to see.
Yeah, I enjoyed them, right? And we're getting ready to get some more. But
Yep.
yeah, I mean, I thought they were fun. And again, these are good kind of primer horror, right? If you're not too into the over the top stuff, you're not too into getting scared or not too into the gore and blood. These are right there where you can get a little spooky and enjoy it. So but I think they're fun. And I think, people that are, diehard horror fans shouldn't knock shit like this, and they should just relax and enjoy them for what they are.
Absolutely. 100%. And I can say that about a lot of stuff, but
Yeah, we're not going down that. We go down that rabbit hole all the time with the gatekeeping and the blah, blah, blah. We're not going to do that today, but
no. We could, but we won't.
that's right. Everybody just be cool.
Everybody be chill, or else we're gonna
That's right.
pop off,
That's
crash out.
right. Don't make us do it again.
Right. But moving on to the same day, same year and everything, The Forever Purge. Forever Purge was the latest installment in the Purge franchise. The Forever Purge is a yet again a interesting look into the politics of things like that, and how that could potentially be a bad thing, letting people kill people once per year. But yeah, I like the Forever Purge. It's a good movie, and it's a good little cap off to the Purge franchise. I do feel that they are going to make more of these. Eventually, but for now, this is what we have.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, why stop? But yeah,
Exactly.
and again, right? These movies tend to come out, this time in the summer. I think the first Purge movie was a little bit groundbreaking in its concept, right? It was pretty cool, pretty different. But the others are all subsequently just fun in their own right too. I don't think that concept ever gets old. I think you can always, put some twists or put characters in different situations within that, that the concept of the purge. I don't think you can, I mean, I really don't think you could ever get tired of ideals there. I mean, I think there's endless perils that characters could endure within that. So,
Absolutely.
I think it's a fun franchise.
No, absolutely. And like you said, I do hope they make more because why not? But very good. We're gonna finish up our anniversaries and move on to our releases. We only have one new release, the only one that really matters. We have Megan 2.0 coming to theaters on June 27th, and it is described as 2 years after Megan's rampage. Her creator Gemma resorts to resurrecting her infamous creation in order to take down Amelia, the military-grade weapon who built by a defense contractor who stole Megan's underlying tech. I think I read that in the wrong tone, but that's the end of it. And we will be reviewing this movie next episode. We even kind of talked about how when the last Megan movie was finished, they were pretty much jumping on to make another one almost immediately. I mean, I think it was a very short turnaround for them to be like, yeah, we're going to make another one, so get ready. And I'm excited. I think it's going to be fun. I think this one's going to lean a little heavier into the comedy of it versus like the scariness of a robot killing people, but nevertheless, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I enjoyed Megan a lot. This one, I was excited for it, but then hearing this description, I'm like, I don't know. I'm hoping there's more than just taking this at face value, because it's like they're turning, for wrestling terms, they're turning Megan face here, right? She's becoming a good guy. I don't know. It seems a little peculiar. It seems a little almost hokey. I'm hoping it doesn't work out that way. I'm hoping there's more, a little more depth than this to it. I don't know. Seems peculiar, but we'll see. I'm hoping, because if you take this description at face value, it's almost like it feels like a sequel, just to do a sequel, just to cash in.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, I'm like, okay, I understand something's happening, but could you really coerce Gemma to resurrect her? There, I mean, I just feel like there's got to be more, right? I mean, I don't know. Seems peculiar to me. And again, obviously I'll watch it, obviously, because we're going to review it, so obviously I'll watch it. Obviously I'll keep an open mind, but I'm hoping there's a little more to it than just taking this description at face value.
Yeah, it's like you said, I'm not sure how the plot is supposed to advance in a realistic fashion, because I know if I was Gemma, there'd be no way in fucking any world that I would bring back that son of a bitch. Let me tell you, I am not bringing them back. But I'm very interested to see how they rationalize the plot and make it into a movie. So we'll see.
Yeah, and again, I don't know how Megan's going to come across as a quote unquote good guy in this, if that's what the way it sounds. And you know, we've got Amelia as this military grade weapon. I mean, I understand that they stole the underlying tech, but you're telling me they just made another female synthetic and called it Amelia? That's what the military weapon was? That seems weird to me, I guess. I mean, they didn't, steal the underlying tech and, like, I don't know, put it in a plane or a tank or something. It seems, I don't know. I'm not buying this at face value. There needs to be more before they can hook me. So we'll see.
Absolutely. But good stuff.
I'm perplexed.
I was going to say, we'll have to wait, because, the movie comes out this week and on Thursday, Friday, or whatever, and we'll watch this weekend, and maybe it'll all make sense. Maybe it won't. Maybe they're just pulling the sheet from our eyes and just telling us to believe it, but we'll see.
Here's the thing. I will have an open mind. I am going to make a little bit of a prediction that I don't think Megan 2.0 is going to be as big a success as the first one. I think it might be kind of hot coming out of the gate in the first weekend. I don't know. My gut is telling me it's, I don't know. I don't know. It sounds weird. And my gut's telling me after that opening weekend, it's going to fall fast. And it's just not going to, I hope I'm wrong. We'll see. I don't know. By this description, I'm not sure this is the direction I would have done, but what do I know? So we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. I will also predict that this will likely not be as good. But, that's just, like you said, maybe that's just me riding on your curtails a little bit, but I don't know. Sequels rarely do better than the original. And in the very few cases that they do, it's more about it being an exception that makes the rule versus it being an exception that defeats the rule. So,
yeah, and I'm open to that whole concept, right? I don't always anticipate as much from the sequels, right? I just want to have fun. I just, whatever. But this, I don't know. And again, I know this is just a couple sentence description, and I know hopefully there's more to it. But just by this description, I'm like, did you even try? Because it doesn't, I don't know, there doesn't sound, I don't know. Again, I don't, this does not, to me, if I am whittling a movie down and this is what I come up with, this is not the direction I would have gone, I don't think, with a sequel. It sounds, I don't know, it sounds peculiar. I mean, I don't know. Do I want to see Megan fight another, quote-unquote, Megan? I don't know. I don't think that's what I would want. I want to see Megan hunt people like she did in the first, and
Right.
I don't know, maybe Child's Play's got me so desensitized that, you know, Chucky can be resurrected no matter what, and will always pursue Andy. And I guess I always thought somehow Megan will come back and will always be pursuing Gemma. But I don't know. But again, we'll see what they give us.
Absolutely. But we will see. We'll check it out this weekend, and we'll give you guys our official review next week. But until then, that'll do it for our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick breath, catch our air in our lungs, and metabolize that into our bodies while also exhaling the carbon dioxide. And then when we come back, we will have our official review of 28 years later. So stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today. With the best guests you could ask for, there's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, and welcome back to Listen to Their Screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing 28 Years Later. The movie was written by Alex Garland, directed by Danny Boyle, starring Jodie Comer, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Rocco Haynes, and others. The movie is now showing in theaters, and on opening weekend, this movie did gross $30,002,966 domestically. Good for number two. It was behind the whatever that live action How to Train Your Dragon or whatever. It's hard to fight a big time family film like that. But it is what it is. I do believe I read or heard this was like the third biggest opening weekend for a horror movie of the year so far. I don't remember what the other two were. I didn't really think it through. But anyway, it performed well on opening weekend. This is obviously the third movie in this franchise after. Kind of a big gap, right? How big of a gap did we get? I don't remember. But kind of a gap between the previous, the 28 weeks later. So big a gap that they had to skip 28 months later. no. But no, there is a 28 months later, though, out there, and it's not part of the franchise. So, a little bit of a gap, but they, you know, are back in it. Danny Boyle, I think he's done some good shit here lately, right? What has he done? He's got kind of a... Look him up for me real quick. He's got building kind of a wild little resume in horror. And wow, I'm shooting complete blanks on what he's done recently. But
so he, you know, he's done obviously like 28 Days, whatnot. He directed that movie 127 Hours. He was also involved with like Slumdog Millionaire. Looks like he did Trainspotting. And
yeah, why did I think there was another kind of big horror movie he's directed recently? I don't know. Maybe not.
I'll double check, but I don't think so. I think most of it's been like kind of that kind of stuff. I mean, these are still big movies. These are, you know, multi-million dollar projects that, you know, he's made buku bucks on.
Yeah. But I don't know. Okay. Whatever. Maybe I've confused him with somebody else. That's okay. Okay, I've got some opinions on the movie. Ike, why don't you go first on this one for 28 Years Later? Tell us what you thought of it.
Yeah. So, well, real quick, so just to give everybody the timeline here, the first 28 Days Later movie came out in 2002. And then in 2007, we got 28 Weeks Later. And then in 2025, we got 28 Years Later. Here's the deal. I'm going to be very blunt because I've seen this movie get so much hate online, and I'm not sure. I'm having a hard time gauging Dave's opinion here. So I'm just going to be very clear. I fucking loved this movie. I thought that this movie was fantastic. I thought that this lived up to the same level that the original film lived up to. I do not think this is better than the original film, but I think that this is a worthy successor to the original film. There were some admittedly goofy moments towards the end of the film, but they are completely justifiable if you pay attention to the beginning of the film. There are some quirky things throughout the film that I think were inadvertently funny. I think everybody at this point has seen the memes about the Alpha's very large dong, and it is just part of it. I mean, it's part of it. I don't know. I don't know why Danny Boyle made that directorial decision to just give this man an ungodly large penis, but he did. And God bless Danny Boyle for that, I guess.
Hard not to remember.
It really is. But, I mean, they really came out the gates swinging with this. I mean, the beginning of this movie, it made me feel like the beginning of 28 Days Later with Cillian Murphy. I think it's not Cillian Murphy. I think it's Killian Murphy. I think it's, like, Scottish, so they don't say it. It's like... but I don't want to quote that. I could be wrong, but the beginning of this movie made me feel like the beginning of 28 Days Later. So, you know, and this gives a very rational explanation as to why the events of this movie are transpiring in the manner in which they are. You know, a lot of times with movies that have this big of a gap between them, they sometimes lose a little bit in between, but I feel like this one made a pretty logical leap that they were able to contain it to the island of, you know, England or whatever. They were able to contain it to just this, like, specific area. It's been quarantined. Different governments are patrolling for quarantine, which we actually get some characters who are introduced as a result of that patrolling. And, you know, there are some really great, you know, stories that are told within this movie. Both primary and secondary, because there are some secondary stories that kind of get dropped in here and there. But the primary story, you know, being the story of the, I would say he's the main antagonist, Spike, right? Is the kid's name.
Yeah.
You know, basically the story is about Spike, you know, growing up in this world, becoming sort of realizing the harsh reality that he lives in and doing the best that he can to survive. And so, and all the people, all the actors within this film, Jodie Comer, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Ralph Fiennes, Spike's character, you know, he's played by a guy named Alfie Williams. Let's say a guy, but he's a very young kid. I think he's only had a couple of movies come out. But yeah, I mean, quite literally everything about this movie, it made me feel like the original 28 Days Later. Like I said, the ending of the movie was a little quirky. It took me out of it a little bit, but when I realized what was going on, it made a little bit more sense. But it was very, very interesting that that's how they're leaving the movie to lead into the next film, which is 28 Days Later, The Bone Temple. I loved everything about this movie. The only thing that I really would have liked to see more of was maybe sort of that in-between period, because we've gone from 28 weeks to 28 years. You know, in 28 weeks, realistically, is only, what, maybe 4 weeks in a month, 4, 8, 12, 16, 24, 26 months at most. So, sorry, good math. I do some fast math there. So 28 months, weeks later is at most 6 months.
Yeah.
Since the initial infection. And 28 days later is barely, what, like 4 weeks? So barely a month. So you have basically 1 month later, you have 6 months later, and then we're immediately jumping to 28 years later. So surely there's a lot of stuff that's happened that we don't have any information about, right? You know, they talked about how there are different settlements that have popped up and people who are surviving this, you know, very, you know, interesting apocalypse. But we really don't know, like, anything about the life cycle of the infected, you know what I mean? Because they're not zombies, right? They're not eating human flesh. Now, they are biting people, and like, but I think they're doing it as, like, an animal would bite somebody, right? So I don't know. I do wish that there would have been some part of this 2-hour movie that would have given some context as to what happened in the basically the 27 and a half years since the beginning of the, you know, since the last movie. And that's my only criticism. And maybe Bone Temple will clear that up, or maybe Danny has some, you know, projects in mind to kind of fill the gaps in. It'd be cool to do like a TV series about this, you know, like a 28 weeks later series, or, you know, call it the 28 saga and like have different increments of time to show different things. I don't know. Just something. I need some filler here. I need something to fill in that middle area. Sorry, I'm ranting at this point, but I like the movie. Shot wonderfully. Everybody did a great job. And yeah, what did you think?
I'm a little more lukewarm on it. Now, I didn't hate it like some of the people online are saying. But I don't know. I didn't think it was quite as strong. I think I did think it did suffer by the big time jump. I think it could have been a better story. Even if you're telling a similar story, if you had put it a little closer to the last film, I mean, you could still tell the same type of story. I just think it would have provided a little more peril. You know, I mean, you know, the way they established, you know, kind of the dad was kind of a bad guy in a way or whatever, kind of, you know, pushing the kid to grow up more. Not, I won't say bad, but I mean, you know what I mean? But he's pushing the kid more to grow up. And the mom was trying to keep the kid, you know, allowing the kid to be a kid as long as it could. And that conflict and, but, you know, this world forcing this kid to grow up in it, you know, quicker than most. I don't know. It was just, there were some parts where it seemed to skip a little bit that lost me. I don't know. And then they get to the doctor and I don't want to give out spoilers, but they get towards the end when they get to the doctor character, and there's kind of this, I don't know, peculiar thing he did that was kind of like, I don't know. It was kind of odd to me. It was just seemed so matter of fact. And I get that you're in this scenario and things are going to be different, but it was odd. And you know, if somebody's not familiar or knowing that there's another movie coming up, which I believe it's coming out, if I remember hearing right, it's coming out 28 weeks after this movie. That's kind of a marketing ploy of it.
Right.
The ending would be very confusing if you're not aware that there's already another movie in the pipeline. Because the end of the movie would have made no sense. But knowing that there's, you know, that they are setting up, you know, another movie, that's fine, right? Because you've got to do that, right? You can't just, it's fine to do that. The kid was great. I mean, the kid was a really, he's really talented. And I really want to see what he does with his career in Desmond, because he was very believable with his acting and being in these situations. And I don't know, he really sold it well. And he's very, very talented. I was very impressed by him. And, you know, I don't know. It was just, I don't know if my tastes here lately are just, I need more danger in these movies than what I'm getting with some of them. I've said this before about certain movies. Some movies, it's like I feel like they're holding back just a touch, hoping to draw in a little bit, you know, just a little bit younger audience by going without going to. And I'm like, I don't know. It's like, man, I really wanted to see even more. And I'm not saying there's not. There's some graphic stuff in this, right? And obviously, you know, I mean, there's plenty, just penises flopping about everywhere, and especially the alpha guy, because yeah, I'm telling you, whatever. I mean, they should give this guy an Oscar. I mean, just create a category for him. Yeah, it's like I want to know, was that legit him or a prosthetic? I have so many questions about this guy, and because it's like once he came onto the screen, I didn't care what was going on. There was hard. It was hard not to think about anything else than holy shit, and I don't mean that in a perverse way per se. I'm just saying it's like a, I don't know.
Like, listen, he could have definitely killed somebody with that thing. Like, just hit him over the head once with that thing, done.
No
Lights
shit.
Out.
It was just, he got running. I was like, holy hell. That thing's going to get spinning. He's going to get airborne. And so, and again, that was, it makes me believe that it's not a prosthetic, because I wouldn't think you would put a prosthetic to do that. I don't know, just knowing that it's going to be a little bit of a distraction. I mean, come on, let's be realistic. Everybody knows the human mind. And I'm sorry, if your fucking blood's pumping, you're going to be like, whoa. And so I it's why I got to believe that's really that guy. And that, you know, he was just cast for the part. And, you know, that's what came with it. And, I, you know, but anyway, to spend an awful lot of time talking about this guy's penis. And, you know, but again, the movie, it's not that it was bad, but I did feel there was a few parts where it was a little slower than I would have liked. It was definitely, to me, more of a coming of age story, within this horror realm. And I think that's okay, but I really think I would have liked a little more horror. Yeah, there was a couple fairly gruesome little scenes, and there was some tense moments with some. I think I wanted a little more. I expected a little more of that. And maybe it's because the other movies were so frantic, and they felt frantic. Maybe it was because of that, like we said earlier, the shooting style, whatever it may be. And this movie didn't feel as frantic. I am very appreciative that they didn't do the motion sickness shooting style, but, you know, I think it could have used a little more tension into it. I understand we're talking 28 years in the future. Some of it's been, you know, some of this has been contained. They've learned to, I get that, but you're still making a movie. And I understand that these guys did get in trepidatious situations in the movie. I just felt like I wanted more of that. And I wanted to feel more danger for them. I wanted it to feel more of a threat. And you know, there was a couple of decent spots like that, though, that were there. And there was a one character, I can't remember his name now. One character they introduced, whatever, three quarters of the way through the movie, maybe a little more, that I kind of thought was going to see the movie out, and, you know, something happened that was kind of caught me off guard a little bit. But, you know, but I don't know. Not that I hated the movie. I mean, I did enjoy it, but I didn't love it as much as I hoped. I will say I probably like it better than the second one. But I still don't know if it's, I don't know if it's as good as the first. And, despite the choppy movements of the camera, I still think I enjoyed the first a little more, but in the grand scheme, I thought 28 Weeks Later was a significantly weaker film than 28 Days Later. I just didn't, not saying it was bad. I just didn't think it was nearly as good as the first. But you know, I don't know. Again, it's like I really wanted to love it and thought I would, and I was really excited for it. And I didn't hate it, but I don't think I flipped head over heels like I anticipated I would. And I think it's because I think I wanted more of that rage virus, more danger, more peril. And I wanted to, I don't know, I think I wanted maybe I've gotten so conditioned with Walking Dead and that franchise where they're constantly introducing new forms of zombies and new ways, that I just thought maybe we would get a little something like that, you know, something, maybe a new way to introduce it, a new type of person infect. I don't know what I was wanting. I don't know. You know what I mean? Just something a little different about it. And I don't know. I thought it lacked a little of that. But it was a solid little coming of age story. The kid was very, very good in it. And, I don't know. I guess maybe I didn't, despite all that, I guess I just didn't, I wasn't as captivated with the characters as I had hoped, because I didn't, I don't think I felt the danger that I had wanted to feel for them. So, but you know, it, I mean, I don't know, people are knocking online or whatever else, but it made 30 million. So, I don't know that they're too concerned about the online pushback. It'll be curious to see again with the, like with this one, what the second weekend does. If all these people are truly complaining and truly didn't like it, let's see within what it does second weekend. If it stays fairly steady, then you know it's a lot of people blowing about nothing, which it typically is anyway. But you know, hopefully it holds strong. It keeps performing, and like I said, you know, I'm curious to see the next one, because that bridge setup that they did at the end was, to me, was actually one of the more kind of one of the more entertaining parts of the movie for me. And because it felt a little different than anything they've done for me. You know, I know maybe some people knock it, didn't like it, the ending or whatever, but I felt like it was, I felt like it was kind of fresh, and it makes me intrigued to see then what they do with the next one, given that. So we'll see. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I've just gotten to a thing where all I want to see is lots of blood and guts and whatever. And, I feel like we're not getting, I just feel like I need these movies to commit, you know, to really just, if you're going to be horror, just fucking put it, you know, pedal to the floor and be horror. And quit fucking worrying about the teenagers. They're gonna sneak in and watch it anyway, or what? Who cares? You know, whatever, man. Just go full bore and let's shock us. You know, and maybe Terrifier is the blame for my opinions of that. That I know it can be done, and I know it can be successful. And I don't know. I just want them to go for it, and push it. But so all right then, let's rate this thing. You know, I like I said, I did. You know, I'm not saying I hated the movie. I'm not saying it was bad. I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it overall. Just it's not what I thought or had hoped. So I'm just going to give it the old standard 3 out of 5. I guess going into it, I really thought, oh, this is going to be kind of my first 4 movie of the year or whatever. This is going to be, and it just wasn't for me. So, but it, you know, I'm not saying it failed or was bad. So it's just getting the good old 3 out of 5 middle of the ground enjoyment, for me. So I, out of 5 screams, what are you giving it?
Right on. So when I first watched the movie and I came out of it, I immediately was like, oh, that's a 4. I have toned it down a little bit because I thinking about it, I was like, I think the original 28 Days Later is a solid 4, maybe a 4.5, depending on the day, maybe. And I would say 28 Weeks Later is a solid 3, because I enjoyed 28 Weeks Later, but it wasn't as good as 28 Days Later. So then by that logic, this movie to me was better than 28 Weeks, but was not as good as 28 Days. So it had to be in the middle. So I'm going to go 3.5 out of 5 for 28 Years Later. I am, however, hopeful that 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple will potentially be even better. So that comes out in January. So we'll have to wait to see that. But as I understand, that movie's already been filmed and everything. It was filmed back to back with this one. So we should be ready to rock and roll in January to see if that can outdo 28 Years Later.
All I know is if I don't get some fashion of a quote unquote bone temple in this movie, I'm submarining this thing, and it's getting a horrible review, because you don't put Bone Temple in that title without giving me a literal bone temple of some sort. I'm sorry. And so we'll see.
Here first.
That's right. I better get a bone temple, or at least something of, you know, I'm not saying it's got to be a literal castle made out of bones, but something intriguing. Worthy of a bone temple name. That is perplexing. It is quite the name. So, all right. Like we said earlier, next episode, we are going to review Megan 2.0. Will it be a solid follow-up to the original Megan? or just, I don't know, are we going to see a weird 80s action, two AI entities battling? We'll see. But we will talk about that next episode. We'd like to say thank you to the wives, the listeners, and all of the followers for all of your support and interactions. Be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much all of the platforms. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen, the number two in Screams, and you will find us. So before we close, Ike, anything you want to add?
Oh, man. I don't think so. I think we I think I got it all out of my system. But, I'm very cautiously optimistic about the next 20 years later movie. It's weird, you know, when these movies film back to back and then they have these release dates, I'm just like, just put it in one movie. Just give me like a 4-hour movie. I'll watch it.
Yeah, it's weird. They're doing that, you know, doing that a lot more, which is okay. I mean, I guess we won't get, you know, you don't get as much casting change, I guess. But, you know, it's kind of the new thing, I guess. I guess because production and effects, things are much different now and probably a quicker process that, I don't know, maybe they get more filming time, whatever. We're getting that more and more. So there you have it. We're in a little sequel streak here. We've 28 years later today, Megan 2.0 next episode. So we'll see what we think of that. So before that, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.